You're listening to The Pipeline Show with Guy Flaming.
I know that, dude.
And welcome back to The Pipeline Show, everybody. Time for us to do what we do every week here on the show, and that's a chat with one of our good friends from HockeyProspect.com. This week, it's Ryan Yessi back to the show. How are you today, Ryan?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Not doing bad at all. Thanks for doing this again. Appreciate it. Always love having you on The Pipeline Show. Let's get right to it. Number of guys that we want to talk about. Some of them, I think, are having maybe better seasons than others, and some real notable high-end guys for the draft, and maybe some sleepers in the mix as well. Let's start with Adam Ruzicka, a forward that's been playing this season with the Sarnia Sting. My last check, he had 25 points in 38 games, and I know you guys this is somebody that you guys have been watching this year too.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Ruzicka. He's been one of the toughest ones to figure out because it all depends on what night you see him play. He's got a great frame. He uses his size really well when he wants to. He's about 6'4". He's got dangerous offensive tools. He knows how to score and how to set up goals. He's got a good shot. He's made some great passes to set up goals. He sometimes plays very physical. He uses his size well, and he can land some pretty hard hits. But other times, he's a little passive. His body language from game to game is very different. You know, sometimes he looks right into the game. He looks into every single shift. And other times he just looks disinterested. You don't see the compete. You don't see him hustling the pucks and stuff like that. And I know some people are concerned about, you know, it's his first year playing in North America, but at the same time, I really worry about the body language. Like, there's a difference between having trouble adjusting to the smaller ice and just not looking like you're really into it that game. I mean, one of the ones that stand out to me, and which is a little understandable, is one of the last times I saw him play in December against Flint, the day before he went to Slovakia camp. He looked like a player that was going to do whatever it took not to get hurt that game. And just the entire game, he just kind of floated. He was just there. He took bad penalties, put his team shorthanded. And, I mean, some nights this guy looks like a first-round pick, and other times he looks like a player that you wouldn't even draft.
Very interesting what you said about going right before World Junior Camp. Very much the same thing we saw here with Cale Clegg. The Brandon Wheat Kings were in town to play Edmonton the night before he and everybody else went to Canada's camp, and he was invisible and hardly a factor, and I wonder if it's something similar in the case for Adam Ruzicka. But with the rest of your description, boy, if there's one word to really sum him up, it almost might be inconsistent. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's definitely a fair assessment. I mean, the scouts really seem to be having a hard time, and we're no different. I mean, it's tough watching a guy with that much upside and that much talent and trying to figure out if he's ever going to click and be that guy every game, because if he can be that guy every game, somebody's going to get a really good pick.
I imagine there's going to be a lot of comparisons or people trying to weigh a 6'4", 210-pound Adam Ruzicka with Nikita Papagayev, who we see out here in the WHL, another big power forward, so to speak, at least in terms of the size and an offensive guy, and trying to compare those two players. Let's move on to another guy, and next up is Nathan Schnarr. Great name. Looks like he's a big center as well, maybe not quite as big in terms of physical mass yet, but lots of room on his 6'3" or 6'4" frame to fill out.
Yeah, he was a guy that I really, really liked in his minor midget year with the Waterloo Wolves at the start of the year. And then what happened was about 6-8 weeks into the season, he got a shoulder injury. He came back. He never looked the same. He looked like a guy that almost definitely was going to be a second-round pick, if not sneaking his way into being a late first-round pick in the OHL draft. And he ended up sliding to Guelph, and it ended up being a great pick for him because he kind of came into his own and he got back to playing the way that made him successful, playing in Junior B last year and then playing with Guelph full-time this year. He's a solid two-way forward. He plays all three zones. He competes. He's got some aggression. He's one of those guys that's really tough to match up with in the defensive zone because he's so committed to the play in his own end. He plays with a good level of physicality, but you don't see him take a lot of bad penalties. You rarely see him take a penalty. So he knows how to use his body and use his size along the wall without taking obstruction penalties, taking a bad penalty that might hurt his team. if he keeps his mentality right, he projects to be a very solid third liner in the NHL. I mean, sometimes we see those guys that are ideal two-way guys. They get picked, they become an NHL pick, and all of a sudden they think, you know, they're a big scorer. They have to go out there and be a top offensive guy every night. This guy has all the makings of being a great two-way third-line center in the NHL. He's got enough offensive upside that he'll be able to contribute at the next level, I believe. And he's just one of those guys you really like to have on your team.
Ryan Jesse joining us from HockeyProspect.com via the Art Slinger hotline. Schnarr was a third-round pick in the OHL draft back in 2015, and now we're talking about him. I mean, you guys have him right at the tail end of the first round right now in your ranking. So this is a guy who's come a long way in a very short period of time and yet hasn't played a ton at the major junior level yet. Almost a guy scratching the surface of what he can still accomplish.
Yeah, I really believe so. He showed flashes of really good offensive ability in minor midget. We've seen him progress. He's got those moments where he can put the puck in the net, and I think he's one of those guys that translates. He understands the game well, and he knows how to – he's one of those guys you can put on the ice in the last minute of the game. Guelph uses him on the power play, the penalty kill. It doesn't matter the situation. This guy understands the game, understands his role, and plays really well within it.
Well, Ryan Jesse from HockeyProspect.com, our guest right now here on the Pipeline Show. If there's a theme so far of the guys you want to chat about, it's big and forwards. Next one on the list is Jonah. Is it Gajovic or Gadjovic? Plays for the Owen Sound Attack, but 6'2" and over 200 pounds now as well.
Yeah, Gajovic is a guy that's always shown us a lot of potential. He was a guy who, after preseason, he played fantastic in the preseason for me when I went up to Owen Sound to watch him play. And I told Mark, I said, this guy could end up being a first-rounder. He ended up finishing around 34, 35 for us. I can't remember which one it was in the preseason ranking. And I was really excited for him going into the season. And then I saw a lot of Owen Sound early, and I was really disappointed in the way he played. You see all that potential, and then he went out there, and he just didn't play very well. And he ended up sliding down our rankings. And what's happened for him lately is that he's really clicking. I mean, he's a really hardworking forward. He competes. He's physical. He's got that size that you really want. And he's a hockey player, you know. Like, he's got that mentality where he wants to go out there and play within his role and play a physical guy. He knows he's not going to dangle around five guys. He knows he's got to protect the puck, take it to the net. If he's going to create offense, and he's got a fantastic shot. And I think what's happening is he's getting that shot on target. He's playing his game, and it's really been translating lately. He's been scoring a lot lately, and he's definitely a guy that's going to continue moving up our list, because he was a guy that before we saw a lot of potential in, slid off a little bit, and now he's starting to really realize that potential.
Ryan, let's move on to Caden Fulcher. He's a goaltender, but another big one, 6'3" and over 180 pounds now as well, playing for the Hamilton Bulldogs, and correct me if I'm wrong, seems to be the starter now.
Yeah, he kind of took over the starter going into the season, and then when they acquired Carty, I think it took a lot of pressure off him because he was really the lone guy there, and I felt like at times he was trying to do a little too much. The first four games, they got Carty in there. Faced 40-plus shots two of the four games. Another one of those games, he faced 36. Never gave up more than three goals. His numbers just seemed to get better once he had Carty on the team, even though Carty was backing him up. So I think he may have got a little more comfortable. He maybe stopped trying to do a little too much. This is a kid that I've seen play for 5 years now, with him being a late birthday. I remember watching him play Bantam for the Lambton Junior Sting, and he progressed up there. He was a big sleeper in his minor midget year, because that Lambton team was very good. He was in net, and he came up with a lot of big games, and I think he flew under the radar. He was a very late pick in the OHL draft. He's extremely athletic for a big goaltender. He's got a good glove hand, and he's got the size that you really want when you're looking for a goaltender. I find a lot of the goaltenders that project are in that 6'1" to 6'4" range. So with him being 6'3", he's right in that group. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's a guy that this is really his first full season in the league. I mean, he played a couple games with Sarnia as the backup, but he really didn't see much action until he went to Hamilton. And even then he split time there. So this is really the first full season he's played in the OHL. And, I mean, he has looked like a rookie at times, but I think there's a lot of upside there in this kid.
Well, saying that, though, so down the stretch, do we expect that Carney will, in fact, get the bulk of the action and into the playoffs? He'll be the guy?
Right now, it really looks like to me like they're giving them both a shot. They're letting them both start. They're not handing the starting role to anyone right now. I think it's going to come down to how they play down the stretch. And, I mean, Carty's a good goaltender. He's played very well for Kitchener. So I think it's going to be a good battle. And much like last year, I think Fulcher has performed well when he's got somebody testing him in the backup role or in a dual starting role. So it's tough to say right now because Carty's experienced. He's had a pretty good season with Kitchener already. But Fulcher in his own right has played a pretty solid season for Hamilton. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with those guys.
I don't know if you would know the answer to this, but interesting that he was a 13th round pick in the OHL priority selection. Does that mean he was initially a college guy, that he was maybe sending out signals he was headed south?
No, he was a goalie that at one point I think the NCAA offers were there, but I don't think he was ever considering that route. He was a top 10 goalie for us. He was a guy that we would have picked quite a bit before he went off the board, but sometimes that just happens with those guys. Sometimes goaltenders fall under the radar. I remember in the Alliance, there were four really good goaltenders there, and some people thought he was the fourth best in the Alliance. We had him the second best in the Alliance. Of course, a couple of the other goalies there were Raymakers and Tyler Wall. Both of them were prospects for last year's draft. And he just kind of he just kept developing. He always had that potential in him, but I think he just flew under the radar.
As we're speaking with Ryan Jesse from HockeyProspect.com on the Art Slinger Hotline, let's go to Matthew Strome, who I think everybody expects is a first-round pick this year, but where in the first round? I think he was rated a lot higher at the start of the year than where you guys have him right now in the lower end of the first round. Tell me, has he been a disappointment to you?
Well, the thing about Strome is he's got great upside. He's got size. He's got offensive potential. The upside is absolutely there. He shows skill with the puck, but one of the things I've noticed about him is he's got to make the play quickly, because if he tries to overhandle the puck, he gets stripped. Somebody will take the puck from him. Somebody will, you know, there will be a turnover. So usually when he gets the puck, he needs to make the play quickly. And there are games where I watch him, and he's obviously one of the guys I'm going to watch very closely, and he doesn't really touch the puck very much in some games.
It almost sounds to me, the way you're describing him, Ryan, that he might be almost a complimentary player more than the go-to guy on a team, and maybe that's why you guys have him ranked 28th. Hard to rate a guy like that in the top 10.
Yeah, it is. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of upside. He's doing a lot better with his goal scoring. It's picked up recently. And one of the things I've noticed with that is his shot is a little more accurate. He was missing the net a lot earlier. So he's taking advantage of his chances more. And I think he's a guy that can move up if he starts taking advantage of that and shows that he's confident in being a potential top six forward. But one of the things that concerns me, and this was the same thing that concerned us about Dylan, although to a little bit of a lesser extent, was his pace, the pace in which he plays the game. When the game speeds up, he doesn't really have that quickness to get up and down the ice as much. So I think when the speed of the game picks up, I mean, there have been good players who haven't had great pace of the game. Bo Horvat's a perfect example of that, who struggled with his pace in his draft year, and he became obviously a great player, and he's having a great start to his NHL career. So it's not something that's going to crush him, but his pace does need to improve, and his skating needs to improve, and I think I'd like to see his puck control improve a little bit more, because he's got the shot, he's got the offense, he's got the size to potentially be that guy, but I'd like to see him round out his game a little more.
Ryan, let's wrap it up with Morgan Frost of the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. The Sault Greyhounds having a really strong season, and he seems to be more than just a guy who's along for the ride. He seems to be a contributor.
Yeah, he's former Barry Jr. Colt. There's a few guys on that team that are in the OHL right now. He kind of, you know, he was a good player that year, but he didn't really stand out as this guy either. And I think that's why he fell a little bit in the OHL draft. But he's one of the smartest players available for the NHL draft. He's not going to be one of the highest guys going, but he's one of the smartest players. Now, The problem is he's listed at 6 feet tall on the OHL website. I don't think he's 6 feet quite yet, so the size is going to hurt him. He's a good skater, but he doesn't have that top-end speed that allows him to separate, and that's something that you really want to see out of a if you're taking a skilled guy under 6 feet in the top two rounds. So I think that's what might knock him down, but what might make him a really good pick down the line is his smarts, his puck skills, his vision. He finds open guys. Now, he got off to a good start with his goal scoring. He's struggled a little bit lately, hasn't scored, and I think it's been over a month since he's scored, but he's continued to contribute because he's a smart player. He reads the game. He's one of those guys that goes where the puck is going rather than where it's been, and he knows all three zones. He knows how to compete in all three areas. He understands the game well, and he's one of those guys that's just really smart, and he's always going to find a way to make an impact.
You're right. He's NHL Central Scouting has him listed at just under 5'11", so you nailed it there, and that's one of the advantages of being in the rink, like you guys for sure at HockeyProspect.com are. Is this, I don't want to say a late bloomer, but a guy who's maybe under the radar just because of the other talent on that team, he might be getting overlooked a bit?
Yeah, I mean, his role is a little bit limited with so many good players on that team, but they put him in some good situations. He's played some secondary roles in the power play and the penalty kill and stuff like that. So he's definitely not highlighted, and he's not playing against the top pairing, and he's not playing top minutes. But at the same time, he's getting into some good situations. And sometimes he's one of those guys that very quietly will put up two assists or maybe a goal and assist or something like that where you don't really, he doesn't really jump out. He doesn't jump out with a lot of flash and do a lot of highlight reel stuff, but he just makes smart plays that result in goals for his team.
Ryan, what's up next for HockeyProspect.com? I know the January rankings came out not all that long ago. Where do people go to find those?
People can find our latest rankings at HockeyProspect.com.
Perfect. As always, we appreciate your time today and looking forward to doing it again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.